It'll be hard. You can hardly breathe. Your legs are heavy. Your arms are heavy. But you can. If you want to be something, go out and do it. Or try and do it at least. Once that job's done, it's done. That's history. Stop patting yourself on the back and telling yourself how great it was and all the rest of it. Move on. Keep your fucking excuses to yourself, because you know what? When you're behind the enemy lines, you're on your own. No one else is picking you up. It's down to you. I could have. I should have. But you've got to make the first move. There's two sides to it. There's the emotional side, or the worry of not coming back for your family and everybody else. That's always there for everybody. But secondly, it's challenging. It's exciting. It's like an adrenaline. This is a chance to prove myself. This is where I've trained to supposedly produce the goods, and now I'm going to go out there and produce the goods. And whether that's stopping terrorism or stopping whatever or doing good things, that's what you're there to do. And no one knows. I don't know how I was going to react to being shot at, being close to being bombed or whatever, until you're out there and do it. And everybody, every single military person, man or female, will tell you the same. They want to go and experience it. No one, anybody who says they like war and war's great, they're fucking idiots. No one likes war. No one likes conflict. You know, but that's our mainstay. That's our biggest test, you know. A Formula One driver is trained to go as fast as he can and win a race. Dangerous, and got to do it. A soldier is there. The worst case scenario is to be put in a conflict type situation and being able to keep your head, make a clear, clarified decision and do the right thing. It's never ever gone to plan. Never, ever. You know, it goes to plan in terms of we got the right result, but what we, each stage we plan for, out the window. Normally from the moment you step off the helicopter, step out of your vehicle, parachute into the place, everything changes. Communications will always go down. It just happens. So now you've got to think on your feet. It's visual all the time, visual and verbal, keeping control of things. You know, and I remember some of the bizarrest of situations in conflict. You know, in the Bosnia conflict, halfway through a horrendous sort of ground battle that was going on, is some guy washing his car like it's a Sunday afternoon. And you're like, where did that just come from? What the fuck is that about? War is strange. It's nasty and it's strange. If someone's out there trying to kill you, you've got to step it up to stop that. But in the middle of that, all of a sudden there's a family, bang, you've got to back off a bit and find another solution. You know, you're thinking all the time. It's a lot going on and it's challenging. And, you know, you go to a war conflict and the tempo's massive, as you can mean. The work rate is massive. There is no finish line. You don't know when this is going to end because you don't know where it's going to go. You don't really know what's going to come around the next corner and what's going to confront you next. Like I say, you plan for everything, but be prepared for the unexpected. You come home and you go straight back into supposedly normal life. Well, that's difficult when, you know, you may have lost people, or you may have seen this, or you may have seen that, and you've got this crazy aggressive mentality in your head, and you get home and then you haven't had time to decompress it and let it calm down, and okay, put that to bed now. You're straight into supposedly another life. We binge life. We binge this craziness straight into binge normality. What normality is being at home with a family or with your friends, or, and we don't get the time to, you know, filter the badness or the aggressive bit out and straight into it. And you become a little bit aggressive when you've just had somebody who's got no house, no family, half the family missing. That's a real problem. Not the fucking washing machine's broke, or the car's been stolen, or the kids had a fight at school. So you're like, so what? Because the people at home, are when you're in war and conflict, they're in war and conflict, worrying where the hell you are, what's going on, and you know, trying to keep the house together, the family together, the friends together. So that was difficult, I think, and that's why, you know, a lot of issues we're having today are happening. Because people haven't had a chance to decompress and get shit off the chest. And it's always, for a soldier, you know, you always think about, if only I'd have stepped to the left, that could have happened. If only I'd have done this, if only I'd done that. Get that off your plate before you go home, because that's on your plate, and you inevitably end up taking it out of your wife, your partner, you know, your aggression, and they're like, whoa, where did that come from? once that job's done, it's done. That's history. Stop patting yourself on the back and telling yourself how great it was and all the rest of it. Move on. What comes next? Because you know what? When you're beyond the enemy lines, you're on your own. No one else is picking you up. It's down to you. Talk's cheap, isn't it? You know, I could have. I should have. Listen, I should have been the world fucking champion boxer. The reason I wasn't was because I weren't good enough. But I can talk about it. Listen, if you want to be something, go out and do it. Or try and do it at least. You get a million excuses. I don't want a million excuses. I want one result. Keep your fucking excuses to yourself. And he said, it's about going always a little further. It won't be easy. It will be hard. You can hardly breathe. Your legs are heavy. Your arms are heavy. But you can. And you've got that energy in your tank and that drive to do it. Just use it. Break through it. It doesn't matter. Like getting that water this morning. I ain't getting it. It's cold. I know it's cold. But fuck it. I'm going to get in it. Because I can. I can. And I also have a choice. I can or I can't. Like I said, there ain't no can't. I can. So I'm going to do it. And everybody's got the same, no matter what it is. You've got it in there. You have got it in you. Everybody has. There's no excuses. Whether you've got a disease, whether you've got a problem, whether you've got a mental problem, you have. You've just got to go through it. But you've got to make the first move. Because no one else knows what's inside your head. No one. You have got to say to yourself, I cannot sit in this pity party. You still have to go for it and go, I want to get through this now. I'm going to go. So everybody, that's what you've got to go. You've got to say, this is not comfortable. I've got to get through it. And it's a passage in time. It's like anything, you know, we've all been through that roller coaster of, oh, I've got a load of money now. Now I've got nothing. Now I've got a bit of money. Now I've got nothing. Now I'm feeling fit. Now I ain't fit. Now I'm in a great relationship. Now everybody hates me. It's a passage in time. It'll keep coming and keep going. But you've got to make the first move. Get out the pity party, because the only one in the pity party is you, and go forward. Take that fucking bite and go, fuck it. And it ain't going to be easy. And it's going to be painful, but it's going to be worth it. Don't be afraid to go for something. Don't let everybody else tell you you can't. The only person who knows if you can or you can't is yourself. And you might not be able to, but have the courage and conviction and the balls to go for it anyway. Because it opens up a new style, new life for you, a new, better, generally a better place to be. My name's Mark Billy Billingham, better known as Billy. I'm an ex-military guy. I spent over 27, actually probably about 32 years in the military. I was born on a council estate in the West Midlands, Walsall, 1965, into a family of five. Came from a very poor background. I was the middle child. And although a poor family, I was the one, the middle child, that went rogue. You know, back in the day then, there was a lot of gang sort of warfare going on and people struggling for sort of authority positions, if you like. And I kind of immediately graduated towards that. By the age of 9, I was getting into small gangs and getting into trouble. And in between this year of being nine and 11, I joined a boxing club, an illegal boxing club, and an old man that I stole from took me to one side and said, listen, boxing is not about brutality, it's a poor man's game of chess. It's about anticipation, it's about thinking, it's about using your feet, using your brain. And I'll never forget those words. And the second thing he said to me was, it's about you as an individual going always a little further, because you can. And strangely enough, many, many years later, then I joined the SAS. That is part of our prayer, always a little further. And I've kept that as my mantra since. Growing up on a council estate, I started getting in trouble. I was in trouble with the law, but the boxing kept me sort of controlled. And then eventually I met the second most influential man in my life, which was a guy who ran the cadets. So I had a Monday, Wednesday and a Friday boxing training, disciplined. Tuesday and a Thursday, I was a cadet. We didn't have anything. For instance, our food would be, my dad would make a pot of stew on the Monday, and that would be the food for the whole of the week. I used to go to school with a hole in the bottom of shoes, and my mum would just put cardboard in there. And that's fact, and we'd walk to school. You know, it was a couple of miles, I was a kid. And I remember one situation where, you know, I was embarrassed by being in school with holes in my shoes. And I realised, we went to the gym, and I didn't even have any PE kit. None of us did. You know, I wasn't the only kid, not just our family, there's a lot of families. And I remember seeing a basket full of plimsolls. And I saw some plimsolls, and then I thought, wow, they look brand new. And I also knew the caretaker every morning at 7 in the morning swept the gym and left the doors open. So I left the house before about 20 to 7 in the morning to go to school, walk to school, and I lay in the snow on the bank watching the gym. And when the caretaker opened the doors and went through to the change rooms, I ran in, stole those pumps. That's how poor we was. And I wore those trainers. But that's who we were. And everything was hand down. So my brother handed down to me, handed down to my brother, etc. You know, it was literally the motto in our house was first up, best dressed. Literally grab what you can and that's yours. Never been abroad. I'd never been on an airplane in my life. First time I went on an airplane was when I joined the army and I was getting thrown out of it. And then at the age of 15, you know, I ended up in a fight and I got stabbed. Yeah, literally about 100 metres from my house. And I remember crawling back to the house. And as I was crawling, I was sort of going in and out. And it went from pain to sort of, as if I was drunk, I was like floating and realising it's because the blood was leaving my body and I was about to collapse, you know. And I remember crawling through the door, blood everywhere, and seeing my mum cleaning. She saw me and screamed. And the next thing I remember, she put this woolly jumper directly on the wound, and that woke me up again. I was like, ah! You know. But I remember that moment of crawling and thinking, I'm going to die. I've got to get out of it. I have to change my lifestyle. I've got to go. It's the will to want to do it. Why am I doing it? Because I can do it. Because there'll come a time in my life I won't be able to do it, so I'm going to do it. Do I like it? No. Is it painful? Yes. As soon as I accept that, I'll go ahead and do it. It's easy to talk about it and not do it. I'll do it tomorrow. Yeah, I can do it. Well, stop talking about it. Do it. That's the thing. Just fucking do it. As soon as you accept yourself, all right, get into the water. It's going to be cold. So what? I ain't going to be in forever. I'm going to be in and I'm going to be out of it. But I get something out of it. Same as the fitness. The fitness is a passage in time. It's hard. I'm breathing out my ass. It's fucking hell, this is tough, but you know what? I'm doing it, and I'll do it till I can't do it. Listen, if your fitness means walking four times into the kitchen and back because you haven't done it before, that's something. So your mind goes, you know what? Didn't do that before, now I can do it. He was my number one role model. You know, I hope I haven't painted the wrong picture. My dad was just, he was a man's man. He was by the book. He was the ring of steel around our family. And I didn't realise it till you get older. You know, why was a dad at my boxing match? Why? But my mum was, because he was at work. I couldn't understand that at the time. I thought he just ain't interested. But he was, and it wasn't until after he died, you know, I found out he actually knew a lot more about me, because I didn't go on and talk about, oh, I'm in the SS and I've done this, I've done that, done that. You know, but he knew from the papers, he knew where I was in the world, roughly did it, and could put things, and he had all paper clippings and all this. And we never talked about it. It's kind of a regret that I didn't go and have a beer with him and talk more about it. But he wasn't one of those people. You know, he's very proud of it, but he doesn't have to show it. He doesn't have to keep talking about it.
The story of discovering that is quite a sad story.
Yeah.
It was after he passed and you were doing his eulogy, right?
Yeah. And, you know, it was a box of just newspaper cuttings and just this, that, the other, and little medals and whatever else, like, you know. Yeah, because he was funny, but, you know, I'd go home and I'd sit in a pub with him and his mates would ask all about, hey, where are you now, what's this? My dad never even asked. I questioned, does he even know I'm in the SES? Does he even know what I do? You know, because he just never asked. He just didn't talk about it. You know, and looking back, I wish we had off. But I understand his mentality and where he was, and I'm just so proud of him for who he was and the way he brought us up and that, you know. The weird thing about the whole that situation was, my mum had cancer, she had lung cancer, and we knew mum was going to die. And she was old, tougher than a coffin nail anyway. And it almost became a joke. Me and Jules would come home and I'd walk in the house, she'd be sat in the house, and I'd be, are you still alive? And she'd just, ah, you know, and dad would just chuckle. I mean, dad was a big old boy, like, and I could see he was getting old, he'd lost his leg, he took his leg off in the later start part of his life. And that was through smoking, you know. And when I got the call in the middle of the night, I thought, yeah, oh no, mum's dead. I was expecting it. And then when I heard dad's dead, I was like, say that again? What? And that kicked me, you know. I wasn't ready for that. And then 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, my mom died. So one after another, but, you know, that was tough. We all know no one's getting out of this life alive. We're all gonna die at some stage, but when it really happens, the reality kicks in, that's hard. I think that's the hardest, closest to PTSD, if I've ever had anything, was that. It's happened. You can't change it. You've just got to accept it, and you've got to look back on that and just enjoy what was good, and, you know, and some of what was bad, learn from what was bad, you know. Me and my dad had some terrible arguments towards the end, but like I've always said, I'd walk 50 miles over Broken Glass to have one more argument with him. I can't. It's gone. Let it go. It's hard. And what I, you know, you'll always have your moments. A certain song will come on and go, oh, I remember Dad, or a certain saying. So you'll always have flashbacks. But I don't have to relive it every day. And they wouldn't want you to do that. You've just got to let it go. It's happened. You've got to move forward. You've got to take care of yourself. You've got to take care of what's important to you now and move forward. Because this is a passage in time. And I know it's an old cliche. Life's not a rehearsal. It isn't. It is not. I think we're at this, I'm particularly at this stage now, every other day I hear about another ex-soldier that's either committed suicide or died, and you think, fuck, you know, you just don't know what's around the corner. So you've got to enjoy it and not live your life like it's the last day on earth, but enjoy it. It's easy to be miserable. You have a choice. You can be upset and miserable, or you can be happy and push forward. It's a choice, and you have it. Choose to go forward. Just because we haven't got any money to go for a drink, or just because you're not feeling very well, but you're still here. You've still got something to enjoy and go forward. So, yeah, just keep pushing forward. That's, again, it's easy to fall into that sadness and pity party. It's not going to help. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help people around you. You can be sad, of course, and I'm not saying get up and go, hey, Dad's dead, let's go. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you've got to drive forward. You've got to get up. You've got to motivate yourself. A little bit slower than normal to get back to something, but move forward. Move forward, get on with it. It's happened. You ain't gonna change it. The past is never gonna, you learn from the past. What you can do is shape your future from what's happened. You know, Dad had a great life, I want a greater life. There's a way around everything, and there is always an option in everything you're going through. Every dark moment you're in, when you think everything's, it's not. There's a way out. There is a way out, there's an option. And just accept this, it ain't gonna be easy. It's never going to be easy. As soon as you accept that, you'll go for it and you'll get out of it.